an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Our sermon today is based on picking up the reading that Steve shared with us from Genesis. This is Genesis chapter 20, verses 8 through 18. So Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told them all these things, the things God had said to him in his dream. And the men were very much afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, "What have you done to us? How have I sinned against you that you have brought such great guilt on me and my kingdom? You have done things to me that ought not to be done." And Abimelech said to Abraham, "What were you thinking of that you did this thing?" Abraham said, "I did it because I thought there is no fear of God at all in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife. Besides, she is indeed my sister, the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. And when God caused me to wander from my father's house, I said to her, 'This is the kindness you must do me. At every place to which we come, say of me, he is my brother.' Then Abimelech took sheep and oxen and male and female slaves and gave them to Abraham and restored his wife Sarah to him. Abimelech said, 'My land is before you. Settle where it pleases you.' To Sarah he said, 'Look, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. It is your exoneration before all who are with you. You are completely vindicated. Then Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech and also healed his wife and female slaves so that they bore children. For the Lord had closed fast all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Thank you, God, for opportunities to delve deep into your word. I'm excited to start a new sermon series today. This time of year on the liturgical calendar is called Ordinary Time. All the big events are over: Epiphany, Lent, Easter, Pentecost, and now we just sail through the summer until the excitement of Advent. So with no big days ahead, I, and a lot of other pastors, I'm sure, are left wondering, what are we going to do now? I was racking my brain and opening myself up to the Holy Spirit, who never lets me down, trying to figure out what to preach on next. And then she said to me, A to Z. I gave her that puppy dog look, you know the one, huh? And she said again, A to Z, go through the Bible from A to Z. What a great idea to pull from the Bible people and ideas and concepts that we may overlook and not be aware of. And you know what? If I start today, I will get to Z in November, right before Advent starts. Isn't the Holy Spirit amazing and wonderful? So under her guidance, we'll look at some overlooked people in the Bible, because I'm not just here to preach, I'm here to teach. I want to show you how amazing the Bible is and to touch on some of the unexpected aspects of it, hopefully to compel you to search the scriptures for yourself and listen for the wind of the Spirit blowing over and around you and through you to enlighten you. And I'm not going to take the easy way out either. Easy would be talking about Adam for the letter A and Eve for the letter E and M for Moses and J for Jesus. Not to say that they aren't important, of course, but there is so much more to explore in the Bible. So this series will seek to present more than just the basics, unless y'all like the basics. But I want to challenge not only you, but myself, to find these obscure things and make them relevant to our 21st century lives. I will rely on the Holy Spirit to take each letter and to show me exactly who or what to emphasize and exactly what to say. So you ready? I am. Let's get going. Is it ever all right to tell a lie? When we listen to this story of Abraham's encounter with Abimelech, that is the dilemma we face. Was it okay for Abraham to lie to Abimelech? To tell him that Sarah wasn't his wife, but his sister? Some would say he didn't actually lie, he just kind of sort of told a half-truth. Sarah apparently was indeed his sister, his father's daughter, but half a truth is still half a lie, right? Abraham offered an excuse for his falsehood. He told Abimelech he was afraid of Abimelech's people, afraid they would look at Sarah and decide to kill him, Abraham, in order to have her. As much as we love and admire and are indebted to Abraham, as high as the pedestal that we set him upon is, this incident brings him down to a less exalted level, to our level. And that's okay. We see Abraham being vulnerable and untrusting, even as we sometimes are, and it makes him more human to us, more accessible. Great as Abraham is, he had to learn to trust God, just as we all do. What we learn from Abraham is this. Abraham left home and hearth to wander in response to God's summons to go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, God said, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Abraham would travel under the guidance and protection of the Lord God Almighty. God wouldn't make him leave everything behind, become a nomad and a wanderer, and then abandon him out in the wilderness. God had sent him forth, and God would be with him everywhere he went. There was no reason to fear anything, especially not the people in the lands where he sojourned. But Abraham succumbed to fear when he came to Gerar, suspicious of the people living there, afraid they would kill him to obtain his wife. He wanted to preserve his own hide, and so he lied. and he enlisted Sarah's help in developing and perpetuating the lie. He didn't ask God about what he should do. He didn't say to himself, God has sent me, God will be with me. He was basically saying he didn't trust God to protect him, so he'd better lie. And Abimelech fell for it. He took Abraham at his word and deduced that Sarah was fair game for him to bring into his harem. Sarah must have been something. She was around 90 years old at the time, and yet people were still amazed at her, intrigued by her, and attracted to her. I hope I looked that good at 90. Abimelech acted in all innocence when he decided he wanted her, although it's a little disconcerting to realize he just took Sarah without consulting her. But that's probably the way they did things back in those days. Women had little or no say in their fates. Abimelech's name means, my father is king. It meant he was the ruler and the father of the land and its people, and as such, he could take whatever he wanted. As someone once said, it's good to be the king. Here's another failing of Abraham. He assumed the people around him in Gerar didn't know or fear God. But Abraham misunderstood them, and God as well. Although Abraham didn't think God would interact with these people, God most certainly did. God came to Abimelech in a dream, warning him about the wrong he was doing. This is how important it was to rescue Sarah's honor and establish Abraham's status, that God would appear to Abimelech in a dream and speak directly to him. Would God deign to come to someone who wouldn't listen to him and obey his commands? Why would God come to someone with a chance to redeem themselves and turn around and make things right if God didn't think they would heed him? Abimelech acted more faithfully than Abraham. Upon hearing God's word and God's warning, Abimelech immediately acquiesced after asserting his innocence and integrity. I didn't know God. Abraham lied to me. I believed him. This is not my fault, God. God acknowledged Abimelech's ignorance and gave him a chance to make amends, or else. Right after waking from the dream, Abimelech confronted Abraham. Some commentators think he spoke mildly to Abraham. Oh, la-di-da, Abe, that was a funny trick you've tried to play on me, ha, ha, ha. I think Abimelech was on the verge of freaking out. What are you thinking? Why did you lie to me? What did I ever do to you to make you treat me like this? Man, I could have gotten in some serious trouble with God because of you. You shouldn't do that kind of thing to people, Abraham. He told Abraham how it was, how close he had come to sinning and bringing guilt on himself and his people. If Abimelech didn't care, he would have said to God, so what? I want Sarah and I'm going to have her. If Abimelech wasn't afraid of and respectful to God, he would have turned over and gone right back to sleep instead of jumping up and quickly returning Sarah to Abraham. Abimelech knew exactly who it was who was confronting him in his dream. There was indeed fear of God in this place. Abimelech relented and repented right away. And in this instance, he was more faithful than Abraham. Abimelech was open to divine revelation. He found out what God wanted him to do, and he did it. Abimelech trusted that God would remove his wrath and forgive him. And this God did. God is not willing that any should die, but that all should come to repentance. Abimelech made amends by gifting Abraham with sheep and servants, oxen and silver. God told Abimelech that Abraham was a prophet. What is a prophet? A prophet is a spokesperson and mediator between people and God. A prophet is someone who speaks God's words and God's truth, who tells others the will of God and inspires them to follow God. Abraham was the first person called a prophet in the Bible, but at this point, he was an apprentice prophet. He was growing into that important role. And you know, this isn't the first time Abraham had pulled that Sarah is my sister stunt. Once when they were in Egypt, he did the very same thing, and there were dire consequences for many people because of his lie. The people of Egypt and Gerar both suffered in a most compelling way with plagues and the ability to have children, which was a sure sign of God's favor, all because of Sarah. Because of the way Abraham treated Sarah as expendable, drawing her into the lie along with him. Well, what could she do? Could she have said, no, husband, we must tell the truth and let the consequences fall as they may. Truth is always better than a lie. She couldn't do that any more than she could have screamed and fought Abimelech and refused to enter his harem. She knew her place. But she didn't know her power. Power Abraham conferred on her, the power to save Abraham's very life. He made her deny herself and her status as his wife to save his neck. What was it about Sarah that made her so desirable to others? We can tell she is loyal and responsive and obedient, even when perhaps she herself was not sure Abraham's idea was a good one. She went along with the risky ruse when perhaps she should have reminded Abraham, "We are under the protection of God, and no one, not even Abimelech and his people, can touch us and endanger us." Abraham needed to hear that from someone. We all do. Abimelech taught the prophet a lesson about trust and integrity, a lesson about obeying God swiftly and without hesitating. Abimelech taught Abraham not to judge other people and not to hold on to his prejudice. He taught Abram that God can and does speak to and interact even with someone we are sure God would never speak to and interact with. When Abimelech admonished Abraham for his dishonesty, it was a lesson Abraham needed to learn. As simple as Abraham thought his lie was, as harmless as he thought it was, there were deep, grave implications for many other people. A whole nation was on the brink of doom and damnation because of it. A woman and her dignity were at stake. Lies have bigger ramifications than we can possibly know. Abimelech was right to confront Abraham and say, "What you did, no one should ever do to someone else." I hope Abraham was abashed about his actions. I hope he, as God's prophet, turned to God in humility for his faithlessness, for not realizing God's protection would follow him wherever he went. I hope he asked God's forgiveness. I hope he learned his perceptions and conceptions of other people, that they wouldn't fear and respect and listen to God, weren't always accurate. Above all, Abraham should have been more trusting of God. These are lessons we need to learn too. Wherever God sends us, God will be with us. God doesn't say, "Go, and I'll see you later." God says, "Go, and I will be with you." Abraham had to learn to be a proper prophet. As a prophet, Abraham could have and should have shelved his judgment about Abimelech and all his people, that they don't fear God, and instead made an effort to teach them about loving and respecting God. Instead of duplicity and deception, he could have brought to Abimelech's people redemption and rejoicing. Instead of doubting them, he could have enlightened them. He could have led them to become God's own people too, awed in God's presence and eager to learn and discern and then do God's will. Abraham missed an opportunity to bring truth to life and light and to lead a wayward nation to God. He needed to get rid of his arrogance and pride and humbly present to Abimelech and his people a true and lasting and powerful portrait of the God he served and followed. Perhaps that's why God sent him to Gerar. Maybe it wasn't just by accident. Perhaps Abraham was led to Abimelech's land and his people to tell them and teach them about the God of Israel. Maybe they were just waiting for Abraham to come and bring clarity and purpose to them, to teach the true worship of the true God. He performed one other role of a prophet, praying an intercessory prayer for the people he himself had put in a tight spot. Ironically enough, years later, Abraham and Sarah's son Isaac would do the exact same thing with his wife Rebekah, telling a foreign king who coveted her that she was his sister, so the king wouldn't kill Isaac in order to get Rebekah. Family failings. May we learn the lessons Abraham neglected, to trust God for our protection and guidance wherever God may send us, to be proponents of truth, even if we think that will put us in danger, to not put other people in compromising situations, even peril, when we seek to save our own skins, to be proper prophets of God's word and God's will. Then others will listen to us and praise God for sending us to them. Then others will learn about God and come to know God and be God's people too. Thanks, Abimelech, for helping us learn and find out how much like us Abraham, our spiritual ancestor, really was. It makes us love him that much more. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for Abimelech, for the way he listened, for the way he leaped up to make amends and to do your will. We learn so much from him. Teach us to be good and faithful prophets for you. Help us to remember and trust that wherever we go, that is where you want us and need us to be. And you will be with us, protecting us and guiding us until you lead us home once more. Amen.